From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues a message called The Sons of God Identified, the ninth in a series on Romans chapter 8. The text is verse 14, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." The phrase, led by the Spirit of God, is a reference to what Paul taught in the previous verse about mortifying the deeds of the body. It reminds us that in helping believers to live holy lives, the Spirit leads them to heaven. The desire after holiness is an indisputable proof of being a true child of God. In contrast to regeneration, which is the act of a sovereign God, sanctification involves the believer obeying the Holy Spirit's directions for a life of holiness, directions which are found in the Word of God exclusively. Indeed, it is the Spirit's leading and the believer's obedience to it that proves one has been born again. Before Dr. Cairns brings the next portion of the message, we invite you to enjoy this brief devotional thought found in C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. This devotional is entitled The Bible's First Promise, and the text is Genesis 3, verse 15. "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." This is the first promise to fallen man. It contains the whole gospel and the essence of the covenant of grace. It has been in great measure fulfilled. The seed of the woman, even our Lord Jesus, was bruised in his heel, and a terrible bruising it was. How terrible will be the final bruising of the serpent's head! This was virtually done when Jesus took away sin, vanquished death, and broke the power of Satan. But it awaits a still fuller accomplishment at our Lord's second advent and in the day of judgment. To us, the promise stands as a prophecy that we shall be afflicted by the powers of evil in our lower nature, and thus bruised in our heel. But we shall triumph in Christ, who sets his foot on the old serpent's head. Throughout this year, we may have to learn the first part of this promise by experience, through the temptations of the devil and the unkindness of the ungodly who are his seed. They may so bruise us that we may limp with our sore heel. But let us grasp the second part of the text, and we shall not be dismayed. By faith, let us rejoice that we shall still reign in Christ Jesus, the woman's seed.
Once for all the Savior paid redemption's price. When upon the cross he made the sacrifice, hear his words of triumph sounding from the tree.
Glory, glory. Christ has died, salvation is complete. Follow to his cross and worship at his feet. Listen to his shout resounding far and near. Still it's heard, trust his word, never fear.
Though the battle rages, we may rest secure. With the King of heaven, victory is sure. Down the halls of time, his words forever ring. Hear his voice, make your choice from his King. It is finished, the battle is over. It is finished, through God's own Son. It is finished.
Over the years that Let the Bible Speak has been on the air, many folks have commented on the beautiful sacred music which is a part of each program. Now, for a limited time, you may obtain a CD containing a sampling of these Christ-honoring selections. Entitled Our Great Redeemer's Praise, this CD will provide you with nearly an hour of such beloved pieces as Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven, Be Still, My Soul, May the Mind of Christ My Savior, and In Heavenly Love Abiding. The songs are performed by the various musical groups of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. This CD is available free of charge to our Let the Bible Speak listeners. You may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular mail. You may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Ask for your free copy of the CD, Our Great Redeemer's Praise. Call or write for your copy today.
The Holy Spirit instructs the mind through the Word of God. He forms our reasoning by God's truth. Now let me tell you, that's absolutely vital. Look around you today. Have a look at some of the things that professing Christians are doing. And they can rationalize anything. They can say, well, I think this or I feel that. And the biggest one, the devil's lie. Well, I believe God is leading me. God never leads you contrary to that book. Never. God never leads a Christian to sin. And yet people can rationalize anything. And they can make it sound that it is either good or necessary or justifiable. Where the reality is, what's wrong is that their reasoning is the reasoning of sin and not the reasoning of Scripture. This is where the Holy Ghost works. You hear an awful lot of talk. Well, I believe the Lord is saying to me. I believe the Lord is telling me this. I believe the Lord is telling me the other thing. Get into that book. Get into that book. That's where God's going to speak to you. Oh, He'll convict your heart of many things. And the secret of the Lord is with them that fear Him. Understanding that text and its context again, and understanding its biblical meaning. It's not leading to the wild enthusiasm that some people adopt and use it as a pretext to cover up. No. Get into this book. He'll instruct the mind. When you're thinking and you're reasoning like your conscience are captive to the Word of God, you're in safe ground. And then, having instructed the mind, the second area in which the Holy Spirit works is in the will. He persuades the will to act in light of the Word of God. The Lord Jesus said, I delight to do thy will. Now, there's none of us can ever say that to the level that the Savior could. He was sinless, spotless, and pure. But nonetheless, that has to be the fundamental experience of every Christian. The mark of a Christian, he delights to do God's will, to know God's will, to please God, to please God. That's in the heart of a Christian. How can I honor Him? How can I glorify Him? Well, the Spirit persuades the will to act in the light of Scripture. Now, here's where faith goes into operation. Takes the revealed. Remember what I've said. Let me back up just a sentence. What I've said many a time. Faith is not a leap in the dark. Faith is a step in the light. Faith is always a response to a divine revelation. Faith is always a response to something that the Spirit of God has revealed. And so when we come to the Word of God and the mind is instructed and the will is inflamed to act according to the light of God's Word, faith takes the Word. And faith, instead of twisting the Word to bring it into line with carnal desires, faith puts to death that which the Bible condemns, and faith pursues that which is an expression of the gospel, what we believe controlling how we live. So the first thing, the Holy Ghost leads His people to holiness. Second thing I have to point out in the text is that this leading proves that we are the sons of God. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they and they only. That's the idea. They are the sons of God. In other words, all who through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body. They are led by the Spirit of God, and they live because they are the sons of God. That's the force of the text. Now, that's important because here is something that proves sonship. Many people profess to be Christians. Ultimately, only God can judge. But the Lord has set up things in such a way that He has given evidence of the actual reality of the presence of the Spirit of God in a person's life. There are some evidences, and here He gives one. They are led by the Spirit of God. Those who are led are indisputably the sons of God. Here is a proof of sonship. When Martin Lloyd-Jones of Westminster Chapel dealt with this text many years ago, he suggested what he called 10 tests of sonship in the light of this text. He made a very important point. He said any one of them is enough to prove sonship. Any one of them. But obviously the more people manifest, the better, because the more they are matured in Christ. I'm not going to preach Martin Lloyd-Jones's 10 tests. I'll list them for you pretty quickly. The Holy Ghost determines, number one, my general outlook, my whole outlook on life. In other words, if the Spirit indwells me, generally, essentially, I have a spiritual outlook on life. Number two, the Holy Ghost dwells within me. I have a desire to live for God's glory. I have a desire, even where I fail, I have a desire to live for God's glory. Number three, I have a desire to gain a greater knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. What is the supreme work of the Holy Spirit? It's to reveal Christ. What does the Holy Spirit do? He draws men to Christ. So if the Holy Spirit is evident and at work in any man's life, the idea is plain that there's going to be a desire to gain an increased knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, to know Him and to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. Lloyd-Jones wisely pointed out the fourth test. The Holy Spirit is abiding within me. There'll be a concern about my lack of love for God. There'll be a concern. See, the presence of the Holy Spirit does not lead to this sort of spiritual shrug of the shoulders. Ah, well. Where there's presumption taking the place of faith. That's not the work of the Holy Ghost. Doesn't make people into arrogant, presumptuous upstarts who can live happily in defiance of God, perverting the promises of the gospel to their own iniquitous ends. It's not the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will cause a concern about my lack of love for God. The Holy Spirit, number five, will cause an increasing awareness of sin within. The closer you get to the light, the more you'll see what's wrong. There are people who are either unsaved or very immature, and they have very slight and light views of human sin. But let a man ever get close to God and he'll fall down like Isaiah the prophet. And they cry, I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. Number six, if the Holy Spirit's abiding within, there'll be a penitent reaction to the commission of sin. In other words, when I fail and sin, the Holy Spirit's going to convict me. Now let me tell you, that's an infallible, an infallible mark of the presence of the Spirit. Any person who lives happily in sin without any conviction of it, go on defying God, breaking His word, living for the world, the flesh, and the devil, happily, without conviction, I doubt that person knows anything of the presence of the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit will convict, and in a Christian, when conviction sets in, there is that penitence. There's the crying to God for mercy. There's the crying to God that He will forgive the sin. There's repentance in the heart of a Christian when he's convicted of sin. Number 7, Lloyd Jones said there would be an increasing sensitivity to the approach of sin and to temptation. In other words, Christians become, as they get nearer to the Lord, they become more sensitive to what is likely to grieve the Spirit and what is likely to hurt their own spiritual lives. Number 8, there will be a conscious desire for holiness. If the Holy Spirit abides within, there will be a desire to be holy. How often you've heard the quotation of the saintly Robert Murray McShane. It's so easy to quote his words, but so infrequently do we live his life. When he cried with tears, "Lord, make me as holy as it is possible for a redeemed sinner to be." There's a desire, a conscious desire to be holy. Number 9, where the Holy Spirit abides within, there will be definite steps to translate desire for holiness into action. Here is a mark of maturity. Let's back up here. Have a look at ourselves. I don't know if the devil ever laughs. I wonder how such a malignant spirit could ever do anything but sneer. But if he did, he must be splitting his sides at the nonsense of so many Christians. You see, we're challenged about something. And it's a wee bit like me and my diet. I heard a dear brother from Colombia the other day, and he summed up a whole lot of it. He said, "I think I've lost about 1,000 pounds in weight. The same 50 pounds. On and off, on and off, on and off, on and off." So a lot of us can understand what that's like. I'm going to exercise. I'm going to do this. I'm going to see my wife sniggering there because she knows rightly I'm not. But anyway, I'm going to do all this here. And you map it out. Work it all out there. Maybe you even go to write it down. You feel real good. Look what I have done. What have you done? Nothing. Nothing. Not a thing in the world. So many Christians are like that. Oh, I need to pray, I need to this, I need to that. And they sit down and they take stock of all that they need. And when they've told themselves all that they have to do and all they're going to do, they sit back, stick their chest out and say, "Man, this is great. But what have you done?" Not a solitary thing. There has to come a time when the desire is channeled into action. That's where the energy of the Spirit leads us. Holy Spirit is not there to make you a dreamer. Now, don't misunderstand me. He will make you a thoughtful meditating person. Yes, he let you think. I'm all in favor of thinking and more thinking. But sooner than later, he's going to take the thoughts and put them into action.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.